back, second hour of the broadcast coming your way. Incendiary Radio, RBN. I got some calls lining up. You want to jump on 1-800-313-9443. I want to get to a couple of these clips, though, because a couple of them are important. Let's see. Let's talk about the war from the bench. And I talked about this earlier, the war from the bench against society. So not only, okay, these treasonous judges, okay, let me get to this. I'm going to read a part of this article once the clip's playing, because I think this is interesting here, because one thing that you're not ever seeing is Congress's responsibility to impeach judges. Okay, so all these judges that are committing open treason by overruling everything on the border, immigration enforcement, and the rest of it, these people should immediately be impeached. Okay, this is Congress's oversight power. Now, we all know Congress right now, the House is where impeachment proceedings begin. See, my thing is, Congress is shut down and don't even worry about passing any legislation. You got enough traitors in our midst to impeach people for the next few years in the executive and judicial branches. You don't need to pass any damn legislation, okay? Keep some of the bills being paid, and so keep the lights on and so forth and so on. But you got so many traitors in our midst that, unfortunately, see, the House is full of traitors. These treasonous, right now, Marxist Democrats. And then a good portion of these wishy-washy Marxist Republicans are right there with them. This is the interlocking nature of this deep state, is because it comes out of both the parties. You got your Bush clan, and you got your Clinton clan, and you got everybody, the Nadlers and the Schumers and the AOCs and all these dirtbag Republicans like Marco Rubio and Justin Amash and all these characters. So it's treason upon treason upon treason. Now, if the House was full of good people, they could start removing a bunch of these judges by impeachment. But unfortunately, everything's been broken down, and you know, we're right now in a banana republic. All right, but can get clip three ready now. This is another. So we know that we're being the southern border's basically being collapsed. You got the Congolese buffoons up here in Portland, Maine, all the way to San Antonio now. They're spreading out across the nation, spreading who knows what. People are talking about how the Ebola can live inside people's scrotums for like 12 months, and it's in their semen and the rest of it. I mean, it's that loony. So that part of it's going on. But here's another thing. And if you notice, all of these prosecutors, these Soros-funded prosecutors are putting in, that Kim Fox up there in Chicago, you got Wesley Bell, St. Louis County, Kim Gardner, St. Louis City. They've taken over a bunch of the prosecuting attorneys' offices in all these counties and cities across the country. So now, the war on crime, there is no war on crime. They're barely enforcing the law. Now we're turning into anarchy, because now the Marxists have taken over the prosecuting attorneys' offices in a lot of jurisdictions. So guess what? They start turning a blind eye to street crime. Kill Whitey, kill anybody. Poor black lady living in her apartment. Little kids getting shot. And guess what? Nobody's getting prosecuted. Okay, but hey, let's roll clip three, and then you'll see some more stuff. Go ahead.
The city of St. Louis is asking for more time to decide whether hundreds of people accused of felonies should be put back on the streets. A federal judge ruled that the city can't hold people in jail simply because they can't pay bail. Right now, 900 people are waiting for hearings, and that order says those hearings need to be held in the next 7 days. The city says they need at least 30 days.
The city has a point about protecting the safety of city residents, and there's no doubt that after a lot of these hearings, many of these defendants are going to stay detained in the Justice Center or the workhouse, but there are hundreds of them who aren't a danger to society and just can't afford the bond, and in those cases, there will be some cases where people will be released.
The judge who issued the order, the city, and the lawyers representing the inmates who filed the original lawsuit will be back in court tomorrow afternoon.
All right. So now you got these federal judges ruling basically, hey, you need to look at it again. If these people can't afford bond, you need to let them out. So if you get into an area like where there's thugs running rampant, just roughshod over the society, and now you got federal judges basically saying, oh, by the way, you need to let some of these people go, you see? So now you're being attacked from the prosecuting attorney's offices. You're being attacked from federal judges that are saying, let out all these felons. And then they're saying, hey, let all these people in through the border, and then anybody can come here. It's a sanctuary country, and blah, 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 blah. This is where we're at. And so clown world is – that's just a soft term for what we're under right now. Let's take Frank in North Carolina. Come on up, Frank. What you got?
Yeah, you know, Robert, we're just getting started, man. We're just getting warmed up, you know. I mean, we haven't seen anything yet.
Hold on a second, Frank. Ken sent this over. Dallas won't prosecute a bunch of crimes either. Theft up to $1,500, et cetera, et cetera. So he's saying it's the same thing down there. You get these commie lib prosecutors. Guess what? Then guess what? Word gets through. It starts. It's like a chain reaction. Word makes it through out there in crazy land. Hey, they ain't even prosecute nobody no more. Let's go. Let's have a great time. You know. Yeah, and Ken saying even if they don't pay their probate, this is where we're at. Yeah, go ahead, Frank.
Yeah, they're like green lighting it or whatever.
Yes,
war on
exactly.
Whitey or whatever. Yeah. Hey, but you know what? I don't have any firsthand experience with this, but I've heard from a couple people that there's some blowback coming. The blacks are really attacking the Jews up in some of these areas up in New York, like the slumlords and some of these Jewish areas. The blacks are really focusing on attacking some of these people. So some of these, these certain types of Jews up there in New York are getting some blowback, I understand, and I'm sure that's going to get a whole lot worse as well before it's over. But I called in about Alex Jones. My old flip phone finally broke down a few months ago, and I lost that information where I listened to all these things over the phone, and I never did get that one back, so I haven't been listening to him at all. It was interesting, the clip from Joel Skousen, and I still hear him on Rents about once a month or so. And the last time I called into Alex Jones, when I got on there, I think it was back in January. You know, it's funny, there was a female call screener, and she was asking me who I am, and I said, "Well, it's, you know, Frank, what state are you calling from, North Carolina?" And she said, "Oh, is this my favorite Frank in North Carolina?" I mean, it sounded like you were talking about like a mutiny or something, that a lot of the people that around Alex Jones at InfoWars were maybe turning him against him because he highlighting the fact that this is an obvious false flag.
Right. So he made that. I mean, he said that on the air. He's like, look, my crew's sitting here yelling at me that Alex, it could be a false flag. And he was saying that the day that he was trying to basically bite off and chew the propaganda. And then the next day he brings on Skousen, who basically – just smacked him the other way. It's like, no, this is a false flag. And so I think there might be some people on his crew that's like, Alex, you're jumping the shark here, dude. You're the false flag guy. And all of a sudden you're biting all this propaganda that the Iranians did do something. And I went through those organizations, those basically Israeli fronts, Camera, Memory, and Site Intelligence. These are the people that give all the Bible prophecy people their information. They give all the Breitbart neocon kind of, you know, gateway pundit type people all their information about the mullahs bragging that they're going to take down the Satan America and all this stuff. So I don't know. It's complicated stuff.
It could have been anything. I mean, it could be a sub. It could be it could be just a drone. You know,
while I got you on rocket. Yeah, well, I got you on the phone, Frank. Ken, get clip 4 queued up. You're going to love this one. So have you heard the thing about some nefarious people allegedly downloading or implanting child porn on Jones's servers and so forth? Have you heard this one?
I got a call about it this morning, and actually, then I got a call from my mom. She's like, because, you know, she thinks Alex Jones is some crazy nut. She thinks I'm a conspiracy nut. So she was like, have you heard about this?
Hey, let's listen to clip four. Play it real quick, Ken.
I have been a loyal son of the Republic, my family, for more than 14 generations has been. And I know what they do when you expose them. They say you're a pedophile. We knew it was coming. And when the Obama-appointed U.S. attorney demanded out of 9.6 emails, 9.6 million emails, in the last 7 years in Sandy Hook, metadata, which meant tracking the emails and where they went. Well, we fought it in court. The judge ordered for us to release a large number of those emails. That's Chris Matty that got that done. A very interesting individual, the firm of Koskoff and Koskoff, run by Senator Murphy and Senator Blumenthal, that say for America to survive, quote, I must be taken off the air. So they're very naked about what they stand for. So, you know, I had them try to set me up with the Russians. And I reported to the FBI, and that kind of freaked them out a lot. And that's all on record. It's been covered on national news. So that didn't work too well. And so we learned in just the last few days that when they wanted these hundreds of thousands of emails out of the 9.6 million, that they had attachments to them that no one would know what they were. We hadn't opened this. The FBI's come out and said, I'm the victim. And a statement's coming out officially. The U.S. Attorney's Office in Connecticut. But what's interesting is we checked with real IT people, because we're not IT folks. We made some calls, and they said, no, you wouldn't know what was in attachments, and you wouldn't know what they linked to, because the FBI looked at it. They said, we're the victim. It was hidden in Sandy Hook emails threatening us. It was child porn. So it's on record. We were sent child porn. We're not involved in child porn. But the fact is, it's not a needle in a haystack. It's fields of haystacks. And they get these emails a few weeks ago, and they go right to the FBI and say, we've got him with child porn. The FBI says he never opened it. He didn't send it. And then they act like, oh, they're our friends. They're not going to do anything with this. Go to hell. I wasn't born yesterday. I was born in the dark, but it wasn't last night. So whatever's going on, I'm offering a $100,000 reward, not $10,000. A $100,000 reward for the arrest and prosecution. And I've had $115,000 bonuses and contests before, so I pay $100,000. We're going to release the metadata in the next few days on Infowars.com from the email address, the company, and the folks at the company are going to track it back, and they're going to find out. And we're going to pay the $100,000, and you're going to go to prison. By the way, more than 20 people that have threatened us and my crew have gone to prison. When people threatened to kill George Bush or threatened to kill Obama, we reported you. You went to prison. And law enforcement knows we are law-abiding. We're not offensively committing crimes. So $100,000 reward, and we'll release the metadata by Monday of who sent this. And when they're arrested, you get $10,000. When they're convicted, you get $90,000. Now, I wonder who during discovery would send emails out of millions and then know what to search and look at. I don't know. I just think people are smart enough to know where to look at the ISPs. $100,000. Oh, did I mention on conviction another $100,000? $200,000. No, wait. $1 million. $1 million. I can't help it. I've always done what I sell to. I don't have a lot of money, but I'll sell my house. $1 million on conviction for who sent the child porn. $1 million. We're going to publish all the metadata. We're going to turn you loose, the ISPs, the law enforcement. You know who did it. $1 million. So now it's not $10,000 for arrest. It's $100,000 for arrest. It's $1 million for conviction. $1 million. You think when you call up, oh, we'll protect you, we found the child porn. I like women with big, giant tits and big asses. I don't like kids like you goddamn rapists, F-heads. In fact, like this, you fucks are going to get it, you fucking child molesters. I'll fucking get you in the end, you fucks. Now, we're done right there. I know I should delete it at radio. Probably still went out. I don't care. You're trying to set me up with child porn. I'm going to get your ass. $1 million. $1 million, you little gang member. $1 million to put your head on a pike. $1 million, bitch. I'm going to get your ass. You understand me now? You're not going to ever defeat Texas, you sacks of shit. So you get ready for that. Now, I don't usually use French, but I'm pissed right now. Norm Pattis, you take over this segment the next. I apologize for my use of French here, but I'm really pissed right now.
And yeah, I get that.
With this goddamn bullshit anymore.
So you should have talked to me about the reward structure.
Because no, I don't. It's $1 million.
But listen to me. I'm your lawyer, and it would behoove you to listen from time to time. You don't ever want to create an interest in the outcome in a potential witness. No, I'm here.
Why does the law enforcement say there's an out? Why does law enforcement say $5,000, dead or alive? $1 million, because we all know who did it.
So let's talk about what happened here.
You think I won't pay $1 million?
I didn't say that. I just don't want you to create an interest in the outcome of a person who testifies, because they now have there is a contingent interest in telling.
Well, then why does law enforcement give bounties?
That's different than having a contingent interest.
No. We're going to get.
I want to focus on the issue. I want to focus on the issue that got you angry, because that's a great issue. Okay. And Aristotle once said that a wise man gets angry in the right way at the right time and the right reason. You're so angry right now. You're just a touch unwise, but I'm still behind you 100%. You should be angry, because here's what happened.
Norm, every time I go on the attack, I win.
Listen to me. You should be angry. I'm behind you 100%. Here's what I learned. I got a call the other day saying that information that we were court ordered to provide, metadata, had been run by a California data processing firm for your adversaries in the Sandy Hook suit. They found an email that they shouldn't, quote, have. They turned it over to the FBI. The FBI went through the metadata and found 12 emails that contained PDFs or images embedded in emails of child porn. Some of those emails were directed to you, and they were very hostile, and I'm not going to use the language that were used in those emails. 12 images of child pornography, if knowingly possessed by you, a member of your staff, or me as your lawyer, could land anyone or all of us in prison for up to 5 years.
Yeah, but they said it.
When I heard this, I fell over, and I've not stopped being angry since. I'm not as angry as you, but I'm angry. The point is that somebody directed child pornography into your email accounts, hoping that you would open it, so that when you opened it, there would be direct evidence that you had viewed knowingly and possessed
child porn.
And
then now, magically, they want metadata out of hundreds of thousands of emails they got, and they know right where to go. What a nice group of Democrats. How surprising. What nice people. Chris Maddie. Let's zoom in on Chris Maddie. Oh, nice little Chris Maddie. What a good American. What a good boy. You think you'll put on me what? Anyways, I'm done. Total war. You want it? You got it. I'm not into kids like your Democratic Party, you cocksuckers. So get ready. Anyways, you're my defense lawyer.
All right, go ahead and stop it. All right, Frank, what say you?
Well, of course, if I could get on there, I'd be maneuvering my way to get out to his audience and see his reaction to the fact, well, Alex, you know where this is coming from. This is coming from Tel Aviv. They did this to there was a Marine officer. I spent so long ago, I can't remember his name, but, you know, back before the Gulf War, he was trying to, you know, basically blow the whistle and say what Colin Powell is saying about weapons of mass destruction and this justification to go into Iraq, invade Iraq and all in the Middle East, was bogus. It was made up, and they put child porn on his computer. I can't remember his name. I think he might have been a major.
Oh, you're talking about Scott Ritter.
Scott Ritter, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. But anyway, the reason I was
calling...
And then they
killed the one guy, the UN, David... I want to say it started with a K, David Key or something. He ended up getting suicided. One of those chief UN weapons inspector guys. He got killed. That was a big scandal. David Key, something like that.
Yeah. There was a call, a real interesting call at the end of the show last week, and Dave in Nevada or something. I forget, but I've heard him call into RB in a lot over the years, but. You know, he seemed kind of overly hostile towards you and kind of, you know, I wasn't quite sure where he was coming from, but he said some real interesting things. But he started out, and I really wasn't buying his premise. He said that Alex Jones had to have been a plant from the very start because of his connections to insiders in Hollywood and, you know, the music world, you know, the rock and rollers and people like that. And I didn't buy his premise at all. So to be honest with you, it was kind of a poison pill. I wasn't really taking anything he was saying seriously because, look, Alex Jones is you got the freak factor there. You know, you got conspiracy, you know, theories that sound wild to people that aren't familiar with the conspiracy world. You know, you got a bunch of guys out there that know about Alex Jones because he's been around a long time. And yeah, they want to hang out with him. They want to see what he's going to say. To him, he's like amusing. To them, he's a freak factor. And yeah. You know, just the fact that, you know, they'll fly him out and party with him, get drunk with him, do drugs with him, snort cocaine with him, whatever. That doesn't mean that he was a plant from the very start. Although he may be. I'm just saying.
Well, no, hey Frank, you got to realize this though. You got to realize this though. I've been on the internet since it came up. And a bunch of these guys, Stu Webb and Tom Hennigan and a few other ones, Bill Cooper, they all said from the beginning that Jones was an operative of some sort. He was recruited in as a young guy to be the conspiracy king. So there's been people from the very beginning when the internet came up. Rents was there when the internet came up. Jones was there. And a few of these other guys, from the mid 1990s on, they were always leery of Jones, and they said
Bill Cooper is the one that I'm most. I think most of us are most familiar with is Bill Cooper. Yeah. You know, yeah. I know Tom Hennigan and those other guys. But see, I don't put any credibility in anything those guys say either.
Well, me neither. But they're me, those
yeah,
you know those
they're
are totally those are
simpo agents.
Yeah. Well, you know, Gordon Duff and a bunch of those guys, they all claim that Jones was basically, you know, blah, 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 blah. I don't look.
Yeah,
he may be.
I'm not saying he's not.
Yeah,
I'm not defending him.
I don't trust anybody just about. I look at everybody and what they say, and I'll listen to what they say, and I glean information from just about anybody if it rings true and it's corroborated by other things that I've looked around at, and that's just how I do it. And I know a lot of us out here have to do that. So,
oh, yeah, I'll be honest with you. I don't really, you know, buy hook, line, and sinker anything anybody says from any direction anymore. But, you know, he was saying some real interesting things, the caller last week. And I mean, I'm like, okay, well, you know, he said he had proof. He knew it for a fact. You know, he was linking Trump with Jared Kushner, with Vladimir Putin, saying they were all members of the same,
Kabbalah,
you know,
temple.
I mean, it's very possible. I mean, it's possible.
Yeah.
I'd be interested in knowing how he knows that, where he's getting that from.
Yeah. I kind of made that point. I was like, look, I mean, I'm not saying it's outside the realm of possibility, because Kabbalah's building, or they built their big library in Moscow and so forth and so on, and you know it you know, but what I'm saying is I'll let somebody else say that, and that's fine, but I don't know that, and I you know, there's no way that I could prove that. And so it's, you know, if somebody can come on the show and say anything, and that's their opinion, but at the same time I'm going to say, look, I gotta at least say, hey, how do you know that, blah 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 blah, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'll file it away in my memory banks and cross-reference it going on into the future, but I'm not going to believe it. I mean, you're going to have to prove it to me.
Exactly.
Anything's possible. A lot of people have said this is all theater. I mean, lot of people that I listen to, I mean, I don't know, maybe David Icke, all across the spectrum have said this is all theater. They will give you your leaders, your heroes, your saviors, because they don't take any chances, and they know how to play us. They know how we think. I mean,
There's this other angle, you know, where Lenin said the best way to control the opposition is to lead it and so forth and so on. But that's also sometimes can be a poison pill, because anybody that tries to become a leader and they don't have any hooks in them and so forth and so on. So the enemy has already poisoned our minds against anybody that raises their head, because they said the best way to lead the opposition to control the opposition is to lead it. So then we think that anybody that attempts to become a leader or do anything, constructive, all of a sudden we all have a suspicious and jaundiced eye towards them. And so that's the painful thing, is sometimes there's probably been a whole lot of good people with pure intentions that have been poo-pooed because we're all so jaded and twisted. We think everybody's an agent or an operative of some sort. And then you're just like, geez, nobody can do anything. It's a paralyzing kind of effect. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've even been called an agent. I became associated with a militia group back about 10 years ago, and they were just clowns. And at some point, they were like, whoa, he must be an agent or something. You know?
Yeah.
It was totally absurd, ridiculous.
Well, Frank, you wouldn't believe some of the stuff that people have sent me that claim I'm military intelligence and all this other crap. And I'm like, yeah, whatever, man. I ain't got time for it. So thanks for the call, man. See ya. Yeah.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Incendiary Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Got a couple callers, but I wanted to just read a blurb of this. This was up from last week on Zero Hedge. The tyranny of TAPS, T-A-P-S, hunting down future threats. Every once in a while, there comes a piece of legislation that is so abhorrent to the very concept of liberty that it seems almost doomed to failure from the outset. Sadly, the same prognosis cannot be made for the Threat Assessment, Prevention, and Safety Act of 2019, TAPS, which, due to broad bipartisan support, may actually make it into law. The act is set to create many task forces of threat assessment personnel for deployment in schools, places of work, NGOs, tribal communities, and pretty much anywhere they can perceive a future threat. These officials will be operating in all communities and serve under the guidance of an as-yet-undecided national strategy. The bill seeks to identify those individuals who may at some point in the future be a danger to themselves or others. TAPS is being presented as a bipartisan, bicameral, that means the House and Senate, solution to prevent targeted violence and to make local communities safer. Removing the sugar coating for a moment, in plain language, it means to create a register of people who may commit crimes at an unspecified time in the future, such as potential school shooters. Okay. Marco Rubio in Florida. Kristen Sinema of Arizona. Now, those are a couple interesting characters, aren't they? Rubio from Florida, of course, with Parkland. Kristen Sinema, of course, with the Gabby Giffords little thing. Quite interesting. Let's take Ken in Fort Worth. Greetings, sir.
Hello there.
Hi.
I was talking on the radio in 91 before Alex Jones.
There you go.
And we know a lady who worked with Alex Jones on the local cable access in Austin. She said she was a monster maker, and boy, she was right. She created a monster. It's about time. I've been reading this stuff since the mid-70s, and nothing happens. Nothing happens. All this stuff is starting to happen now. Way overdue. They're afraid of Alex Jones because he knows information that they don't want you to know. Period.
Okay. Anything else?
Oh, yeah. I got plenty to talk about. Anyway, I called Alex Jones years ago, And I used to play his videos on my cable access show. I had one in Fort Worth for 9 years. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I said, I thought it'd be a good idea if they put Tupperware, 50 cal in Tupperware and bury it. He says, oh, his wheels came off. I still think it's a good idea. I'll run it by you and see what you think.
Well, there's a lot of people in Missouri, and I knew people that were country, you know, living outside the cities that I would meet through work and stuff. This is probably back in the mid 90s. They were burying weapons way back then. So there's weapons buried all over the place.
Anyway, hey, with Roger Stone, I cannot figure out why he didn't take the Fifth Amendment. He don't have to say nothing to nobody.
Yeah, you know, that's a weird one. I think that he was so confident that he didn't have anything to hide, et cetera, that he went ahead and cooperated. I guess that could have been to his own detriment. I mean, there's a lot of stuff coming out on Mike Flynn again now about how he was just completely railroaded. You know, these process crimes, they're something else. They're investigating you for one thing. And I was talking to family about this at Father's Day today, and I was like, they're investigating you for one thing. Then you go answer some questions, and then they trip you up into some bogus stuff, and then they charge you for lying. That's how they do this. And so basically you're not going to get charged for the original crime that you're being investigated for. That's not even going to happen. What they're going to get you for is a process crime, which is the process of the investigation. You do something that they say violated something. And so that you get charged by the feds or, you know, lying to Congress over a process crime, and it had nothing to do with the underlying crime in which was being investigated. And that to me is just like, that's the lowest slimy, sleazy way for a government to operate. But you know, our government's been hijacked for a long time. And so this is how they do people.
And if Alex Jones were to take it, Roger Stone would take the Fifth Amendment, he probably wouldn't be going to court now.
Yeah. I haven't followed the minutia of Roger's case enough to make that determination, but you know, it's, you know, you might have something there.
Now, Google Roger Stone. He's got a lot of books. They can't stand that man because he educates people.
Yeah, and he's been around since Nixon. He knows where the bodies are buried. Another reason why they went after Roger Stone. He wrote books really, really bad on the Clintons' war on women, and he went off on the Bush crime family. He went after both sides of the two-headed monster simultaneously. Now, whether Roger's an operative or whatever, because a lot of people say he is, it's payback, and he's getting his payback now.
Hey, are you cleared for ridiculous?
Go ahead.
Okay. Have you ever heard of Tommy Lee Buckner and the Treasure Gate story?
No, I think it's bringing back something, but anything's nothing coming up. Go ahead.
Well, anyway, back about 91, Tommy Lee Buckner says he received large bearer bonds from Edison Damanak from Indonesia to pay off the national debt.
Uh-huh.
I talked to him on Valentine's radio talk show in 91. And then I called him up one night, and he says they snatched his bonds and put them in a Dallas federal courthouse. And I wrote Trump and told him that they were in there. I think they're in a panic, the fact that he could go get those bonds, put them on a table, pay off the national debt, and send people money back. I think that's what panics them.
Yeah, I've heard about different. Yeah, go ahead.
And Buckley also. He had they snatched his bonds except for one behind the toilet for Shah of Iran for $278 billion. So he sued the government to see if the bonds were valid in the Court of Claims in Washington, D.C. in front of a Judge Diane Gilbert Weinstein court case 93518 Charlie.
Mm.
And I don't know whatever happened to it. That bond is still floating around somewhere.
Interesting.
We're talking big bucks.
What do you think of the Leo Wanta stuff that gets floated around?
Exactly.
And all the,
$8 million he's supposed to get, and it goes right in the memory hole.
Yeah.
$8 trillion, excuse me.
Yeah.
It goes right in the memory hole.
Yeah. A lot of that stuff's quite fascinating.
And as far as I'm concerned, it sounds like Leo Walter wants to give the money back to the government.
Sure.
Oh, there's other things. There's other things. if you go Google 4.6 million foreign gold coins in a New York bank, marks, francs, and sovereigns, now where'd they come from?
Well, there's stories that basically we were holding a whole lot of people's gold, and then a lot of people have been asking for their gold back, and we've been telling them to shove it, from what I understand.
They probably took them out of, they probably took it out of German banks with tanks and brought it back to New York. That's what it looks like.
That, I wouldn't doubt it. Yep.
I wouldn't doubt it either. And also, yep. If you Google, Putin gave Trump 160 terabytes of information. I've heard that Trump called Putin up and said there was going to be a terrorist attack in St. Petersburg, Russia, and they stopped it. And I think he went to Helsinki and said, I owe you one.
That's interesting.
I think he paid him back. That's what it looks like. I might be wrong. Another thing, why would anyone in his right mind send up a car in a space? You got to be a mental, it's crazy, right? Except Kimmy over in North Korea, he can get on a computer. He knows that car weighs about 27,000 pounds. And all he has to do is take that out and slip an atomic weapon, go over the top of North Korea, put his lights out, and they bomb him in the dark. It's that simple. He couldn't put it out. That's what it looks like to me.
All right, man. Let me move on. Thanks for the call. Let me take. All right, have a good one.
Bless you, man.
Have a good one. Let's take Bruce in Texas. Greetings, sir.
Hey, Semper Fi, bro.
You too, man.
Okay, yeah, I called last week, if you remember.
Yeah.
Talking about the. That was a good caller you just had, by the way.
yeah, he's interesting.
Yeah,
he brings up a lot of that old kind of conspiracy research from when the internet just first kind of cranked up.
I was going to say, and I really don't know what to do with this stuff. I've been looking into things since about 2005, when I really started hitting it hard, and I kind of fell into it, and I just got into the habit. I had a YouTube account. I was one of the first YouTube accounts to get kicked off once Google bought out YouTube, and it was not politically involved. It was more of a sports business politics. But I had over a million views on my website, and I had permission to rebroadcast clips and what have you. And then I had three strikes in one day, and it was gone. Right when the league, the Indy Racing League, was changing broadcasters.
One of the worst things that ever happened was Google taking over YouTube. So that's terrible. But those kids that created YouTube got billions, but unfortunately, this whole Alphabet umbrella that Google's under, this is all deep state shadow government stuff, and it's all DARPA level. So
sure is, and you know, everyone's got their price, and they got their price, but. Yeah.
By the way, let me mention this. On Henry Macau's website, Insider, DARPA conceived Facebook for mind control, which we all know, but there's two big articles about Mark Zuckerberg, some gay lover of his blowing the whistle about the whole thing. And there's two long articles about this whole Facebook deal with the deep state and all that. So anybody that wants to read it, it's on henrymacow.com, but go ahead.
Yeah, that's why I stay off of Facebook.
I had an account for one day years and years and years ago, and I terminated it, and I have never been back. So,
right. I've got like maybe almost half a, let me see. At least 200 gigabytes of data and videos and PDFs and snapshots and web saved web pages on everything from 9/11 to Sandy Hook to Oklahoma City.
Well, that's all on your hard drive, right? You've saved it all, right?
Yeah, I've got thousands of videos.
Well, that's good. That's good. Now you should basically. You know what though? You should, if you can, have two computers. One that you can basically keep all that stuff on your hard drive, and the other one. Because it's almost like they can screw you, though, because you've got that all on your hard drive. But if you still go online with that computer, I personally think they can wipe it if they want.
I've been down that road. I've been targeted. I've had a stack of hard drives. I found out the only way I rescued some of it by they hid the malware in the reserve sectors of my hard drive. And I just wiped out that reserve sector. I reallocated my hard drive. So I wouldn't use it, and then I got all my information back.
Interesting.
And, I had a denial service hit that was so bad that when I was using cable, my TV froze at the same time as I was getting that DDoS hit.
Mm-hmm.
But wow. Anyhow, you're talking about the big Jews and the little Jews. Do you recall the 1992 and 1994 Argentine bombings? They tried to pin on Iran.
Yeah, they'll bomb their own little installations to further a larger agenda. It's pretty crazy. I mean, once you realize the ruthlessness of somebody that would do that, what are they going to do to somebody that they don't even consider human, like a subhuman animal? I mean, this is the craziness.
Yeah, and they don't. They never go up in an in-your-face fight. They'll kill you. You know, look at what happened to that truther that died in his motel room. Michael Collins Piper.
Yeah. But well, you know, another thing, they'll crank up somebody else to do the fighting for them, like they do here with minorities. You see, you know, they. They poison everybody against evil whitey right now. Evil white straight male. You're a target. Look at those poor white people in South Africa. That's just the progenitor of what they're going to try to pull here. So everybody be ready for that.
Yeah, I've been on 4chan a lot lately. We're losing options to where to go to speak and to find out information. And 4chan, you know, lately it's been flooded with a lot of shills and trolls and slide threads, but it still has good stuff on there. And I suggest, you know, I guess I'm talking to the older generation like me, like maybe 40s, 50s and above, go check it out, 4chan.com, and then go to Politically Incorrect, P-O-L.
And
get your 2 cents in there. Don't let, you know, there are armies of people that are paid to put out disinformation and to shut down discussions, but if you interject, then you can drown them out.
Yeah, and another thing, and while you bring that up, the comments sections on these various platforms, realize when you're reading comments, don't get emotionally charged by it, because you don't know how many of these people are Hasbara types, Camp Huachuca types, you know, all that stuff, because you just don't know how many of these are fake commenters. And so they're always trying to stir up, you know, the racial stuff. They're always trying to stir up everything behind these articles in the comment section. So don't let those lead you into an emotional place. Realize that you don't know who it is that's putting all these comments in here.
Right. Yeah. You got to even thick skin. Don't take it personal. And also have some comebacks in your arsenal, too.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. The awareness on these tanker attacks on the comments there of 4chan, and also what we've been hearing from politicians, and it seems like people are really waking up to the false flag reality. You know.
Well, you know, I commented on Lacavera's show today. I was like, look, Matt Drudge, one of the biggest websites out there, had false flag ? Right after the tanker thing happened for a couple days. And so people that go on to Drudge, they're looking at this word and they're like, what the hell is that? So it's starting to impregnate the common kind of vernacular and the subconscious. So where people now at least are questioning, they're realizing this spy game that goes on between all these spook agencies and so forth, and military, you know, sabotage and all those things that happen.
Yep, yep. Okay, I'll go ahead and I'll let the next caller come up. Do you have one?
No, but I've got a video that I gotta play a clip of because it's pretty good. So
go ahead and hit it, and I'll talk to you next time.
All right, man. See ya. Okay, so Ken, get clip two ready. This is a young lady named Amazing Polly. Now, she's a YouTuber, but I don't necessarily agree fully with where she's going because I still have to use a smartphone to listen to all my networks and so forth. But what I want to do with people is at least minimize what you do via your smartphone. Don't do your banking. Don't do anything personal. Don't use your credit card over your phone, any of that. So let's roll clip two, and this is going to take us out to the end of the show, maybe, but go ahead and roll it.
I don't know about you, but I'm seeing the end game coming into view. Did you know that the Koch brothers recently teamed up with George Soros to, quote, fight online hate? The Koch brothers and George Soros. So we're talking about the two absolute extreme ends of the political ideological spectrum, supposedly. They are teaming up, pooling resources.
They're all Jewish, by the way.
And the other partners in this are things like Patreon, Airbnb, I can't remember. I'll post the link to the article in the description box. But this should tell you something. This should tell you that the technological control via censoring speech on the internet mainly is integral to their plan. Technology itself is the end game. The Internet of Things plus 5G plus digital IDs are going to create smart cities where the feedback from our environments is read in real time. They'll track us in real time. They'll know every penny we spend. They'll know every joule of energy we put out. They'll know every thought we have, every communication we undertake. They will know everything. They want to make their little prototype worlds like this, and they call them smart cities. I'm going to do a whole other video on Toronto's sidewalk labs and the big names in tech that are coming out to warn Toronto that this would be a gigantic mistake. It's the end of freedom. They say you're essentially ceding your sovereignty to Google and the absolute authority they would have over all data. And people hear the word data and they think of numbers, maybe. But we're talking about everything from our heart rates to how we spend our time and how we spend our money, to who we love, to what we look at, to what's in our fridge, to how we care for our children. Everything is data. Everything. And Google will have it all in these smart cities. And we don't know how they'll use it. So here, what would you think about this? Think about the fact that George Soros and the Koch brothers are coming together to censor the regular people, to censor people. They're calling it hate, but really what it is opposition to them. It's a power grab. It might be the final power grab before we absolutely have no way of fighting back. That's how I'm looking at it. And yeah, it's really, really scary. But I do have an idea. And it's a real idea. And it's not difficult. It doesn't cost you a thing. You barely have to move. This will save you money. This will free your time. This will undermine the globalists in the biggest way that I can personally think of, and we can do it tomorrow. The only thing we need is enough numbers to do it. What is it? You need to get rid of your smartphones. You need to cut your subscriptions. You need to end that relationship. The smartphone is the key to the technological control grid. Sure, they probably have a stage beyond that, because I do believe they will eventually want to implant the technology that is currently available in the smartphones into our bodies. I believe that that day would come. But in order to justify that, they need to have the whole entire population dependent on a smartphone, and show them how convenient it is and make it impossible for that population to exist without a smartphone. They need to do that first. So in other words, they're going to do all our healthcare, all our government, our voting, our banking, our education, our pay packets, our benefits, everything, everything will come through the smartphone eventually. We don't want to get there. And as it stands right now, we can exist quite comfortably without a smartphone, without data packages on our phone. You can still bank, you can still buy groceries, you can still get paid. You can still do everything without a smartphone. And that's the beauty of this. That's the beauty of this protest. It's not a protest. It's not a boycott. It's not an action. What it is a refusal to willingly go down this technological road to our total enslavement. These words sound hyperbolic, I realize that. But what are you going to do on the day when they say, there aren't any bank branches anymore. You have to have a digital ID on this phone. And in fact, there's no Service Canada, there's no DMV, there's no government departments at all. It's all through this phone. That's your whole ID. That's you. That's you, baby. You lose that thing, you've lost everything. You can't opt out. That's where we're going. But we're not there yet. Check this out. Look here. The global revenue made from telecom services is expected to reach almost 1.2 trillion euros in 2019. At this point, if we were to cancel our cell phones,
all right, so we're going to cut it off there. It's the very least you can do, folks, is to trim what you do on the phone to your talk radio, to listen to your RBN and your other streams. Don't do any banking. Don't do anything on your phone. We've got to, you know, cash, use it or lose it, Catherine Albrecht. Don't ever quit using cash. This, you know, to get rid of your phone totally, that'd be a tough one for me. But I do very little on my phone anyway. So just something to think about, folks. We'll see you next week. Incendiary Radio on RBN. Support the network. Hope you enjoyed the content. Thanks, all the callers. Thanks, Kent.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.